This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Cult TV. Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday night at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Squid.
On Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And up next on this very special podcast, we have a chat to the director of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, the Iranian-American, a fabulous director, Lily Amirpour. And this is her first full feature film. It's going to be only at ACME from December 27th to the 26th of January. And we're really looking forward to it making an impact, because it should. I did review it last week here on Joy 94.9 on Sci-Fi and Squeam and gave it a 5 out of 5. And hopefully this chat, as you'll be listening, will give you an indication of why. Now, sadly, the interview was cut a bit short, and which is a bit of a shame. But in any case, we managed to have a pretty good talk to her. And she's a fan of The Babadook, which is great because that is one of the best, I think, also of 2014 when it comes to genre. So it's all about demystifying and smashing the vampire trope and tropes. And she's done very well, Lily has. So we congratulate her on her film, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And we suggest you get your skateboards on. Get your skateboard out, perhaps, and take a journey into the mysterious and surreal and beautiful, poignant world of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night when it screens in Australia. But for now, here's the interview, and you're listening to Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Hang on, I'm going to do that again.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. All right. Hi, I'm Jennifer Kent, writer and director of The Babadook, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
That's great. It's good to have you talking to us today, Lily Amirpour, for A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It's fabulous here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. We've been following with interest this film, your film, for quite a few months now, and waiting for it to have its release in Australia. So it's good to know ACME, or ACMI here in Melbourne, is going to play it for a few days at least.
Yeah.
So we're happy about that. That's great. And I presume it's the first screening in Australia too, on the 27th of December.
Cool.
Cool. But first, can you just tell us briefly about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night and why you chose it to be a story about a female vampire?
It's always really hard to sort of answer the questions about kind of why, you know, for me, about why you tell the stories you do. I mean, I love fantasy. I love creating my own universe. Like I love a fairy tale. Anything ranging as wide as, you know, from, you know, Back to the Future to a David Lynch film. I like that movies can transport you into another dimension and don't have to have any loyalty to the real world rules. And definitely very interested in loneliness, in my own loneliness, and I think loneliness is a powerful thing and a misunderstood thing and a romantic thing, and I think vampires are the loneliest of all. But, you know, I made an Iranian fairy tale about this vampire who's kind of haunting and stalking this small desert town filled with other kinds of lonely sort of...
Yes.
Unsavory people who are kind of there, and then, you know, it's a love story too, and how amidst all of this isolation, sometimes you connect, for who knows what reasons. And that's the magic, you know? So.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, it's, for me, it's probably in my top three of the kind of horror, well, horror type of fantasy genre that's come out this year, or has been shown in theatres. And of course, Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson was one that stood out for me. Just a refreshing look at the whole alien. And
let me guess, the third one is, I hope it's the Babadook.
I actually, number four, I was going to say Only Lovers Left Alive because of the connection, I think, you know. But the Babadook is a brilliant movie too. It's very impressive, and it's an Australian film as well, of course.
I love Jennifer. I think she's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And Essie Davis, what a performance. The lead female.
Yeah, really.
Just incredible.
It's horrifying. I would never.
It is, yeah. It, they should play it in, I guess, Psychology Students 101 or something.
Yeah.
About motherhood, or, perhaps.
About motherhood, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to see the darker sides explored, you know? It's not all roses.
Well, the funny thing was, I was in the cinema when they had the premiere here in Melbourne for the Babadook, and sitting around a lot of guys, and no offence to the males, the blokes out there, but they were getting a bit, you know, they were moving around in their seat a lot more than the females,
yeah.
I noticed, squirming a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely moving around in my seat as well. Got a brilliant tension in it, so.
Yeah, and in your film, I wasn't moving around in the seat, I was just leaning forward, like trying to fall into the film. I found it really attracting and drawing people in, and not just the look with the black and white, the wonderful cinematography, but actually you talk about the loneliness of the characters, you talk about the people living on the periphery, and it just draws you in. It's quite magnetizing in that way, and I think you've done that with the Sheila Vand character, or girl. She doesn't have a name, does she?
No. Well, me and Sheila know her name. She did have a name long ago when she was a human, but nobody else will know that. Maybe it might come out in the comic book eventually, but
yes, because there's a comic crossover and even a skateboard, which is amazing.
It is. The skateboard was actually a big hit. People like the skateboard a lot.
So. Yeah, I noticed that. It was refreshing to see it used in that way, and I think you've put a lot of new life into the trope and the idea of the vampire.
Yeah, Sheila is she's wonderful and hypnotic, and there's something about her face and her eyes that I just never get tired. I can look at her infinitely in a way, and there's so much there. And I mean, I wrote it. I hadn't even written the script before. I talked to her first. I told her I wanted her to be the vampire, you know, and then I wrote it. So it was really written for her. I mean, it was similar with all the cast. I knew them and I wrote the parts for them. It's a dream to do it that way because you really know who you're writing already in a way. Their DNA is like in it.
Now, also getting back to your Iranian roots, and I guess you identify as an Iranian, obviously, and working with a crowd of actors who are also of Iranian descent. Is there quite a strong filmmaking community for Iranians in America? Or?
Well, there's just a lot of Iranians in Los Angeles. Anyway, that's where a lot of, when the Iranians were coming over, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was like London and Los Angeles and Toronto. And so LA has the biggest population just in general. And then the acting community is kind of small, and I had written a script when I first moved to L.A. that was an Iranian story, too, and they all kind of came into my orbit because of that project, because they were excited about doing stuff that wasn't just playing, you know, like a terrorist on a TV show.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, so it's fun for them, and so I think they, you know, it's nice to get to work with, like, the best actors of a certain, you know, group and culture and place, and something that they're really excited about.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, though, because America, I mean, because being Iranian, I'm a mix of so many things in a way, and I really feel like it's an interesting question when you try to figure out what. It's been a question that's come up a lot about the film because I'm Iranian, I'm also American, and I was born in England, and, you know, so there's so many. We really are such a soup or stew of things.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's an interesting.
And it shows, but I guess you're reflecting as well those interesting political aspects that do seem to come out of the film, although I've read that you're not outwardly, you know, just making a political statement. Is that correct?
I mean, you know, honestly, I don't really understand categorization because to me, everything in life is political. Every single thing that requires thought is in some way political. Love is political. Where you work is political. Like how you dress in a way can be, because it's all definitions and that go up against other people's definitions. And then whenever there's, you know, incongruity or something being questioned, then it becomes, I don't know. So I for me, making a film and telling a story is just really, really personal. It's like the things that these characters are going through and thinking about and feeling are things that I am thinking about and feeling. It's a place from inside my mind. So, you know, as the thing about whether or not I definitely don't set out with, like, I'm not campaigning for a cause. I'm trying to understand myself and explore the things that fascinate me and I'm curious about. And like, in the end, the film is really just a mirror for every single person. It's going to be something different based on who you are. So really, I think if someone thinks the film is political, it probably says more about them than it does necessarily about me.
Exactly, yeah. I interviewed a filmmaker, Matty Doe, who is the first from Laos, female director to ever come out of Laos. And that's been her thing as well, is people keep saying, what is it like being the first woman director? And she goes, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just a director. I'm doing what I love, and I just happens to be the first woman to make a film that's been seen outside of Laos that's actually in cinemas around the world. So
absolutely. I mean, it's really funny, the thing about categorizations and stuff, because putting things in boxes like that, it's so convenient and lazy in a way, because, I mean, what does it mean to say female? I mean, to me, it's as arbitrary as grouping everyone who's left-handed or from Ohio or short-sighted or far-sighted or nearsighted, or, you know, like...
It's like being Peter Dinklage, really, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what the... It's interesting, right? It's like some human need to organize things. But, I mean, you know, I think the coolest thing about the kind of characters I like in films and that excite me personally when I go to the movies are when the thing that you see on the surface is stripped down like onion peels, and then the thing that's inside contradicts what you see on the surface. Like, for example, like Tony Soprano, you know, he's this gangster and he's doing terrible things, but then suddenly he's nice to these ducks in his swimming pool and you feel things for him that are unexpected, and he's a different type of, he's many things, you know. I think we're all people are just full of such weird, strange, secret things on the inside, you know. But that's what excites me.
The many different layers. Now, I know that we're really short for time, of course, I've been told. So it won't keep you much longer. I'm just very excited to talk to you. I may not sound it, but I'm just talking slow. so you can understand me. I believe there is, well, it looks to me like a transgender character that you have in the film as a sex worker. A beautiful scene that's in the film that I loved. And because we're a queer radio station, LGBTIQ, you know, A, etc., it was just a lovely scene when you see her dancing with the balloon. It's just like the surreal scene, which was very touching. And there are those moments where you've used music as well. I believe you've got a DJ background too, so.
Yeah, her name is Rockabilly. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a character inspired by this really wonderful a lesbian performance artist in San Francisco.
Okay, cool.
And, yeah, Mariam Rastami. And I saw this picture of her dressed up like that in this kind of like drag rockabilly
look.
Cool. And I just love that character. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great character.
I mean,
they're all great characters.
When you talk about being on the fringes and really like isolated and alienated, I feel like rockabilly is definitely
out there.
You know, way out there. Yeah, but somehow so content. I think that's another thing. When you are an outsider and kind of separated, you know, if you do find comfort in it, you can really, like, completely give into your own world and your own imagination and, in a way, be even more free. I don't know. There's something. That's why I think loneliness is so misunderstood, because when you're lonely and in solitude, really, like, you can really find yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised you didn't use a Morrissey song then in the soundtrack.
What's that?
A Smith song? The Smiths?
Hey, something about the soundtrack, which I'm very excited to talk about.
But. Yeah, I know. The Smiths. Why isn't the Smiths included in your soundtrack?
Oh, the Smiths. Oh. Yeah, no, I can't fit everything in.
I know. It's a beautiful soundtrack. I was furiously looking for it. I'm trying to find it online. Yeah. I can't find it yet.
It's going to be released February 21st.
February 21st. Okay.
Yeah, by Death Waltz Records.
Aren't they great? They're awesome.
They are
amazing.
Incredible. Mm. And they're going to be pressing it on vinyl, too, which is...
Fabulous.
It's an incredible... Yeah, it's a dream. So it couldn't have been better for the soundtrack.
I want to go to that nightclub.
Yeah, I know.
And I want you to be the DJ.
Oh, that's like music to my ears. It's funny when people say they like the film, it makes me feel very nice. So when people say they love the music, it gives me an unmasked sense of peace, and I love it. It's really.
I tell you before I let you go, because I'm enjoying this too much. I went and saw Linda Blair DJ when she came to Melbourne. She actually DJed Linda Blair, so that's hard to top.
Oh.
She DJed.
Oh, my God.
For real. Amazing.
That's kind of intense.
That was mad. Trust me.
You know what she should have done? I don't know if she did, but wear her dress backwards.
A 360 with the vinyl, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's
It was totally the weirdest weird. Thing. Yeah. It was the weirdest thing.
That is really weird. That is really weird.
She's so tiny, so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Who knows how that experience, like...
Yeah, she's living the dream. Oh, no. I've lost you. Damn it. Oh, no. Well, that was the interview with the wonderful director Lily Amirpour, a DJ, a music file, and a lover of David Lynch, apart from other great things. And her film, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, will be screening only at ACMI here in Melbourne Town for the first time in Australia from the 27th of December to the 26th of January. So very much look. Keep your eyes open for that. Unfortunately, the interview was cut short, sadly, as far as our connections went, but still a very wonderful thing to get to talk to an up-and-coming and a really important director with a fabulous film, such as A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It's a vampire film with a difference. All right, this is Sonia here on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Maddie Doe, and I'm here at the Stranger With My Face Film Festival on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Gleam. Had an awesome time talking to Sonia.
Hi, this is Essie Davis from The Babadook, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.